Well, good evening. It's good to be back in God's house tonight. I hope that you've come with an expectancy to not only just see some friends and family, but to meet with the Lord Jesus Christ through His Word. Amen. And we'll try to make that happen this evening as we look in the Word of God. Again, thank you for allowing us to be with you all this day. We had a good meal this afternoon at the Frisch's, had the breakfast bar, which is always enjoyable on a Sunday afternoon. And then I was able to get about an hour or so nap in, which is always refreshing too. And so I hope that you're refreshed also. It's been good singing and praying. And so let's get into the Word of God now. Take your Bible and please turn to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, and we'll turn to chapter 17. Jeremiah, chapter number 17. We're going to be considering, looking at a topic this evening concerning apostasy or apostatizing. What does that mean? That basically means departing from the faith or forgetting God and turning from Him. And it seems like that's more prevalent now, and it just seems to be getting worse and worse as the days grow colder, as we may say, as the hearts of men are waxing cold and the evil day is drawing nigh. We see people just lackadaisical in their faith. We see a lot of just going through the motions because this is what I'm supposed to do. And maybe some are hanging on for a hope that the Lord may yet revive them again. Some are just kind of fallen by the wayside. They've just kind of stepped out of the race that they've been running. They've taken their eyes, as we mentioned earlier, off the Lord Jesus Christ. They've looked elsewhere for sustenance. They've looked elsewhere for that which only the Lord Jesus Christ can supply. When our expectation is found in the things of this world, it always fails. And it just leaves us in a worse condition than we were before. When we look to man for help, man will fail us each and every time. When I say man, I'm not just talking about our fellow neighbor, but I'm talking about ourselves also. When we look to ourselves to find the hope and strength that we need in our times of distress or discouragement, we'll fail ourselves. When we look to, as we say, the world or the world system and the thought process that they use and how they make their judgments upon things, and we begin to think that way, that fails us too. The only thing that ever works is the Bible, amen? The only thing that will ever help us is the Bible. It's knowing Him. And so this evening, I pray that you'd allow the Scripture to challenge your heart and to consider these truths. We're just looking at a few verses in chapter 17, verses 5 through 8. It's not a topical study by any means. We'll try to exegete the Scriptures here. A big word for just saying explain some things, amen, of what the Bible has to say, and hopefully something will get a hold of you, as it got a hold of me as I studied it. And because the last thing that we want in our life, or we look to our neighbor, we look to our spouse, we look to our children, is what this text says here about departing from the Lord. We don't want to see that happen. We don't want that to happen in our life. So we need to put up some safeguards. We need to put up some boundaries in our heart and in our life to where this will not take place. Because it's all too easy to happen. I mean, listen, you plant a garden, you can till the soil, you can take great care, and you can remove all of the stones, and you can water it, and you can plant your seed, but if you just leave it there, the weeds are going to overtake it. You walk by the field of the slothful, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs. And what happens? Well, the weeds are all grown up and the walls crumbled down. Everything just tends to decay. And that's the same in our Christian life unless we're being active in our faith. Unless we're actively seeking to protect what we have. To, as I mentioned earlier, reach forth or strive for something more in our Christian life. So let's go ahead and start reading in verse 5. We'll look at verses 5 through 8. The Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited." And then, praise God, it gives us a contrast, amen. Because the opposite of being cursed is being blessed. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Amen. We can draw some great contrasts here to our Christian life, and that's what God would have us to do with the Word of God. We want to help us to understand, Lord, this text of Scripture. Help us to apply some biblical truth to our life so that it's not just some ancient text to us. But, Lord, help give us something that we can get a hold of and that we can run with, because that's why the Scriptures have been written, that we may read and heed, amen? And be blessed by it and not cursed. So let's bow our heads and pray and ask the Lord's blessing. Father in heaven, I pray that this evening, Lord, as we quiet our hearts before you now and open the Scriptures, I pray that you would speak through them. Father, if it's in the still small voice, that we would hear what you would have for us. Lord, I pray that none of us would be found in our hearts turning back to the weak and elementary things of this life. That none of us would be turning back to those things which we have forsaken. But that everything we have found in you, we will hold fast to. We will cherish and treasure. Father, I pray that if any in the congregation tonight seem to be downtrodden in their spirits, seem to be doubting, fearful, or fretting of the days ahead, Lord, I pray that they'd look to you this night. I pray that you'd speak to their heart. If there's any that are just wanting to give up, throw in the towel, Lord, I pray that you would help them fight another round in your strength and in your power and might. Lord, if there's an individual here who's never repented of their sins and believed the gospel, I pray that the Spirit of God would convince them of this. They would see their great need for a Savior, and they would find refuge in the cross of Calvary. Lord, I ask that you would bless us this night for what we hear and what we read. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So what do we see here? Well, we know first and foremost in verse 5, "Thus saith the Lord." Amen. We see with all the full authority found in the name of the Lord that God is going to be delivering a message through the mouth of his prophet. "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man." cursed. This is a very strong word, this word cursed. When you look up the word cursed in a dictionary, in the Strong's Concordance or a good dictionary, it means to be vexed or tormented. It literally means devoted to destruction. That all of your desires and aims and things that you're hoping for are just leading to the end of destruction ultimately. Because the man that trusts in man ultimately will find himself defeated, will find himself destroyed. Cursed is that man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. You see, when we begin to place our confidence, our hope, our expectation in another and not the Lord, to supply those very things which only He can, ultimately, His strength, His safety, His security, His supply, we're cursed. We're not to place our faith and confidence in another individual. The Bible makes it very clear in Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9, those words, that we are not to put our trust in man. Man will fail us. This is the path of destruction. When we make flesh his arm, that means when we try to find strength in another. Ultimately, we're just looking to another man who is sinful just like us. If we try to lean upon this man, we'll find that it's like a, as the Bible says, a broken reed, a bruised reed, and it'll fail us. When we look to be protected by another, or supplied by another, or when we try to depend upon another, we realize that man is just flesh, as the Bible says, and man is weak, and man will fail us. Man is sinful. We need to put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when we look at this passage of Scripture and we look at this verse and we begin to think about this, what really stands out to me in verse 5 is it goes on to say, after it says, cursed is this man, it says, whose heart departeth from the Lord. So we know that to depart from something, we had to be a part of it to begin with. And so listen, tonight, Christian, you might be thinking, well, yeah, that's for the lost folks. No, this can be for us too. Because apostasy and backsliding, as we say, begins with those who have already believed. But what happens is we begin to misplace or misalign our trust, and we begin to look at things and others and place confidence in those things rather than the Lord. And what happens? Our heart begins to depart from the Lord. And again, when the Bible's talking about this, when we see this word here, this departeth, it means to turn off. Our heart just kind of gets turned off from the things of God. It also means to call back or to decline. It's like something from our past or something from the outside is calling us, and we begin to listen to it, and we turn back to it. And our heart has now been called back to the world, to the things of the world, and to the thinking of the world. And now our expectation and our hope is we're trying to find it in the world, and you know what? It just fails us all the time. Whether it's our employers, whether it's our friends, our family, whatever it may be, whether it's hobbies that we try to find enjoyment or satisfaction in, whether it's the government, our political leaders, they all fail us. You see, the heart departs, is what it says. What's interesting, come on in. What we see here is when the heart departs, the hands may still work, though the heart departs. glasses right here. I had them the whole time. Though our heart is departing, what's interesting about the Christian life is the hands may still be working. What do you mean by that? What I mean by that is we go through the motions. You see, Israel, the whole time, as they were still following Moses and they were following the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, the Bible says that their heart was wanting to turn back to Egypt. But they were still going with the crowd. They were going through the motions. Listen, you may be sitting in the church pew tonight just going through the motions. Your heart has turned, but your hands are still in it. You're still working, or you're still serving, or you're still just doing your religious duty or obligation, because what would the family think if I didn't show up to church tonight? Or what would so-and-so think? Or what would the preacher think? Or what would my neighbors think? And again, we're concerned about what man thinks and not what God thinks. Going through the motions, it can happen. And it happens, why? Because we begin to look to man. We begin to look to the world. We begin to look at other things to find supply for that which only the Lord Jesus Christ can give us. You see, the Bible says that in Lamentations 3:51, mine eye affecteth my heart. When I mentioned earlier that we need to be active in our Christian life and we need to put time and effort into it, because there's a lot of distraction out today in this world, and there's a lot of things that can catch our eye, and there's a lot of things that catch our time. I don't have my phone on me, but if I had my phone, I'd pull it out and I'd look at it, because most of the world is walking around like this today. They don't see anything else but what's right in front of their face and what's on that screen. And mine eye affecteth my heart. And what's happening is in my heart, it's already turning back, or it's departing from the things of the Lord, because I'm reading and hearing and seeing things that are catching my flesh, the sinful side of me. And I'm beginning to desire those. I'm beginning to want those. And they're enticing me. But yet all the while, I'm still in the church house going through the motions. You see, you don't have to be in a far country to leave home. Do you remember Luke chapter 15? Hold your place here in Jeremiah. Turn with me to Luke chapter 15 real quick. Luke chapter 15, and we'll get to some more scripture here in a little bit. I just want to try to build this a little more so we understand what's taking place, because many are trusting in the ways of man and in the works of man to find hope, to find expectancy, and it's failing them. Listen, the only thing that will satisfy the longing desires of your soul is the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke 15, you remember the story of the prodigal son. He went, the Bible says, in verse 13, Luke 15, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. He went away from home. And we know the story, what took place. If you don't know the story, go ahead, read it later. For sake of time, he gets right, amen? The Bible says, I think it's somewhere around verse 17, and when he came to himself, he repented. Repentance is a change of mind that results in a change of action. He had a change of mind about his situation, where he was at and who he was and who the father was, and a change of action. He got up out of the hog pen and he went back to the father's house. But what happened back at the father's house? Look a little further on. Verse 25. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry. What? And he would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. You see, sense some, maybe some bitterness or some anger in this young man's heart. What? You see, his heart was, though he'd never left home, he left home. In his heart, he left home. But his father had to remind him, hey, listen, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found. Why do I bring this passage up? Because listen, hey, you can still be serving at the house. You can still be doing the Father's will. But yet your heart has already turned. We end up cursed by God, the Bible says. And then you know what? We begin to forsake the church house after a given amount of time. We begin to close our Bibles. We don't pray. We don't respond. We think that we can handle the situations that come in our life in the power of the flesh. We don't seek counsel, and we fail. And we wonder why. And things begin to get more frustrating. And listen, God's not in all of that. Is he? No. But the Bible makes it very clear. We're not to look to man for strength. We're to look to God for our strength. Amen. Let's look at a few verses of Scripture. We want to find some strength and some security and some satisfaction. Well, God can supply all of that. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 8 first. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Because maybe this evening you're tired. And you need some strength. Well, you can get it from the Lord, amen? Maybe this evening you're fearful about what the morrow may bring. Well, listen, no man has control of the morrow. God does. And listen, the sun's going to rise again tomorrow morning, amen? It's been doing it ever since God said, let there be light. And it was so. There's going to be another day tomorrow. How are you going to come at that day? What about satisfaction? Maybe you just you don't seem satisfied in your soul of souls. Well, God can provide all of this. Deuteronomy chapter 8, look here in verse 11. Here God makes it very clear. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. Okay, this is where it starts. There's a forgetting. Because before there's a departing, there's a forgetting about all that God has already done for you. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, and not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and are full, and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint. Do you think he can help, amen, in our time of need? Has he not been good? Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power, in the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. No, it hasn't. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. You see, we can't look to ourselves to find this strength and this power to perform whatever it is that God would have us to do. We need to look to Him. Turn with me to Isaiah 31, please. Isaiah 31. Isaiah 31. You see, the children of Israel worshiped the unseen God. We worship an unseen God. We respond to him by faith, the Bible teaches. And oftentimes, the children of Israel, they were smaller in numbers than the nations around them. They might not have had a king to lead them at certain times. And they needed security. They needed protection. And sometimes we want security and we want protection. And the Bible teaches us that some trust in horses and others chariots. But we will remember the name of our God. The kings were told not to multiply horses and chariots and trust in numbers. Remember Gideon and his 300? Well, they started out with tens of thousands to begin with. But God said, listen, we're not going to trust in those numbers. The battle is the Lord's. Isaiah 31, look here, verses 1 to 3. Woe to them. That's almost like being cursed. Woe to them that go down to Egypt. A type of the world. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many and in horsemen because they are very strong, but they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Yet he also is wise and will bring evil and will not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers and against the help of them that work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses flesh and not spirit. When the Lord shall stretch out his hand, both he that helpeth shall fall, and he that is hoping shall fall down, and they all shall fail together. You see, when we put our confidence in man to help us in our times of need, they'll fail us. Look to Luke chapter 12 now. Luke 12. Luke 12, here's a story of an individual. We'll just call him the barn builder. His ground produced much, and he had to build a big barn. And then it produced more, and so he was going to build bigger barns, and he was going to just take his ease and be satisfied. Why? Because he was trusting in the things that he did. And God called him a fool, said, listen, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. We can't find satisfaction in those things because they'll fail us. Starting in verse 16, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He thought, finally, I got some satisfaction. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You see, We're not to find a strength in man. We cannot look to man for security. We cannot look to man for satisfaction. We look to God. Amen. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. So when we consider this text, thus saith the Lord, cursed is that man that makes man his trust and looks to the flesh for his arm and strength, and he departs from the Lord. What does the Bible say over here? Where does this come from? Why is there this heart that is turning from the Lord? Well, I found this interesting scripture over here in Hebrews 3. And let's look in verse 12 together. It says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. There it is. Why would an individual depart from the living God? Why would an individual begin to start looking elsewhere to find strength and security and supply and all of those things we've mentioned? Because he doesn't believe God's word. He has an evil heart of unbelief. By the way, unbelief is at the bottom of all departures when we depart from God. Unbelief is the greatest sin that we commit against our God because we're saying, God, I don't believe that you can do this for me, and so I need to go find help elsewhere. God, I don't believe that this is going to take place, and so I need to go over here and make it happen. God, I don't believe. It's an evil heart of unbelief. And so we need to prevent from that. We need to take heed. We need to look about us and guard our heart and not harden our heart and not become forgetful of the things that God has already done and how he has already helped us, because when we forget that, we don't remember it and then we depart from it. That's basically what the scripture just said. We forget it. We don't remember it. And we depart from it. Turn with me to Psalm 78. Psalm 78, we're going to look at a few verses of Scripture in the book of Psalms. Because the children of Israel, all Scripture is written by God, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We also know that these things were written for our admonition and learning. And so we can learn from even the examples in the Old Testament. And the children of Israel were ones that were on this continual roller coaster of believing God and trusting God and God blessing their lives, and then they forget the blessings of God, and then what happens? They fall back into sin and idolatry, and then they realize the madness of their situation and they cry out and God sends a deliverer, and then they're back. It's just this, as you read throughout their history. And Psalm 78 gives a great history of the children of Israel and what has taken place. But look here in verse 41 and 42. The Bible says this. By the way, this is after already 40 verses that has been shared of what God did for them while they journeyed through the wilderness. Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. You know what's interesting? In the New Testament, the Bible says that when Jesus was in a certain town, I don't remember which town it was, I think it was in Matthew chapter 13 at the very end, it says, and he did not many mighty works there. Why? Because of their unbelief. You see, when we limit the Holy One of Israel, because of our unbelief, we limit what he can do in our life, and then we need to find help. And that's why we turn and we begin to trust in man and not God. Verse 42, they remembered not his hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. And so you can find this all throughout the scriptures. Let's go back a couple verses. Let's look at verse 36 and 37. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues, for their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. Though they just continued along, going through the motions, their heart was turned back. They were looking towards Egypt. Look at verse 57. Again, speaking of the children of Israel, but turned back and dealt unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow. They couldn't shoot straight. They just turned back. Forgetfulness. It's an evil heart of unbelief. And our text back there in Jeremiah says, after that the heart departs from the Lord, it goes on to then say, like, what's going to happen? Verse 6, back in Jeremiah in our text there in verse 17, it says, for he shall be like the heath in the desert. What is that? What is the heath in the desert? Well, it's a shrub. It was used to make brooms or to heat ovens. It was something that was basically worthless. It was fruitless. It was useless. and it was found in a barren and waste land. It's bitter and dry, and that's what happened. That's what becomes to the believer who begins to forget his God and in his heart turn from his God and looks to man. He becomes bitter. He becomes dry. He's not fruitful. He begins to be filled with his own ways, the Bible says. And what else happens? And he shall not see when good cometh. Because he loses his sense to every good and perfect gift which cometh down from the Father of lights, the Bible says. We can't even recognize it anymore. We can't comprehend it. We don't understand it because we're ungrateful and we're unthankful. And it goes on. It says, but they shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. It's just, there's no life. There's no growth. This is not a place for a Christian, amen? A Christian is to be filled with the Spirit of God. They're to be full of life. And so let me ask the question, are you in a wilderness today? You may ask yourself, why have I been so dry lately? Why have I been not trusting God fully? Why have I been... Maybe it's some of these things we're bringing out this evening. Has man failed you? Has he broken his promises? You see, you end up in a salt land, good for nothing. Didn't Jesus say that when the salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing? But it's to be what? To be thrown down and trodden under the foot of men. It's like a salt land. It's a Christian with no light shining and no life in them because they've departed in their heart. Why did they depart in their heart? Because they were looking to man. Why were they looking to man? Because they forgot what God has done for them. And so we need some help tonight, amen? We don't want to be like the cursed man. We want to be like the blessed man in verse 7 who trusts in the Lord, amen, and his hope is in the Lord. His expectation is coming from the Lord. He's not looking to the arm of flesh. He's not looking to man. He is his refuge and his confidence, and he relies upon him. And his guidance and his counsel and his comfort all comes from him. How? Right here from the Scriptures. And he's like what? He's like a tree, the Bible says, that's planted by the waters. And that spreadeth out her roots. This one that trusts in the Lord and does not look to man, he begins to grow and he becomes strong in the Lord. And he's not soon shaken, amen? He's planted by God. And he's being watered by the Word of God. And he's being strengthened in his God. And what else do we see? He shall not see when heat cometh. Though the heat comes, amen, and though trials and tribulation come, and though disappointments may come in our life, you know what? We remember the name of our God, and he's going to get us through this, and we're going to be strong in him, and we're not going to look elsewhere. His leaf is going to be green. He's bright, and he's healthy. He's full of the Spirit. And you know what others notice, too? You drive down the road and you can see which trees are blooming and which ones aren't. Which ones are growing, which ones are healthy. What is he? He's fruit bearing, the Bible says. But her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Though dryness may come and though there may be times of despair, you're going to make it through. Why? Because you're not trusting in man or the ways of man. You're trusting in God. You're going to have a security and a serenity about you and a peace. You're going to be supplied for in the time of drought. You're not going to be anxious when the troubles come. And you're going to be fruit-bearing even in old age. Amen. Why? Because your soul is waiting upon God. Let's look at just a few more verses in the book of Psalms. Psalm 62, please. Psalm 62. So which side of the fence do you find yourself on tonight? Are you Are you being cursed by God? Are you being blessed by God? Are you looking to God tonight? Or are you trying to connive and contrive a way to make things happen in your life outside and apart from the help of God? And are you hoping in these things to help you in your time of need? Or are you looking to Him? Psalm 62, look here in verse 5. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. Amen. That's my hope is from Him. Lord, I'm going to wait upon You. Because I know that You are going to be my strength. I know that You are going to be my supply. I know that You are going to satisfy me. I know that You are going to take care of me. You're going to be my security. All of those things that we were looking for, that the text said that the man that is not trusting in the Lord looks after. Verse 6, He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. Means just pause and think about that for a minute. Think about what David just said. Think about his heart was completely trusting in the Lord for everything. Can you do that tonight? Psalm 27. Turn there. Psalm 27. Let's just have a couple more verses of Scripture to end with. Because listen, God can be that for you. Will you let Him? Will you look to Him? Psalm 27 and verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Is He your strength tonight? Psalm 28. Look there. Psalm 28, verses 7 and 8. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him, and I am helped. Amen? But when we trusted in man, we weren't helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth. Why are you not rejoicing tonight? Because you're not being helped. Why are you not helped? Because you're not trusting in the Lord. And with my song will I praise Him. Where'd your song go? Look at verse 8. The Lord is their strength, and He is the saving strength of His anointed. Go back to Psalm 20. Psalm 20. Hey, God can protect you. Amen. God can give you strength. God can supply all of your needs. Psalm 20 and verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. I mentioned this earlier. But we will remember the name of our God. Let's not trust in those things that are without. Let's trust in Him. Psalm 34. Turn there. Psalm 34. Just maybe two more. Psalm 34. In verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Blessed. And yes, this is such a simple truth. I understand this. Yes, we're familiar with this. But are you living it? Or are you just going through the motions still? Psalm 31. Psalm 31 in verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. God's got good for us tonight, amen. If we just look to Him, if we just trust in Him, let's not be the man that is cursed and in our heart we begin departing from the Lord because we're forgetting all the great things that He's done for us. And we're not relying upon Him. And then we're looking to the world for these things and we find ourselves in a parched and dry land and devoted to destruction because we're not looking to Him for help. Let's be blessed, amen. Let's stay in contact with the water of the Word of God. Let's continue abiding in the vine, and let's continually guard our heart, because the things that we see and the things that we hear are affecting us, and our culture is bent on destroying us, and this world is not our friend, amen. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The Bible says, the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Where is your trust tonight? Moses in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 30 said, hey, listen, I've set before you life and death, a blessing and a cursing. Choose life. Listen, choose the blessing tonight. Choose to trust God tonight. Choose to trust Him in every area of your life. Examine your heart this evening and ask, Lord, is it I? Am I departing? Am I beginning that process? Am I forgetting all the wonderful works that you've done for me, that you've done for my family, that you've done in my church? Lord, don't let me get to the place where I'm looking apart from you. And if you find yourself over here, well, how do we get back? Just repent, amen. Just repent. Confess and repent and start to look to Him. Let's stand tonight. We'll close there. If we can have our pianist come forward. We'll have a time of invitation. If God has spoken to your heart this evening through this feeble mouth of mine and these scriptures that we looked at, I pray that you would respond to Him. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, Father in heaven, I pray this evening that you'd speak to the hearts of men and women and children, and that we would examine ourselves. Father, help us not to just go through the motions. Lord, help us, help our heart tonight to not depart from Thee, to not turn to the whims of man. Lord, may our expectation only come from You. Thank You, Father, for all that You've given us and for all that You've done for us. You've saved us and You've given us everlasting life and forgiveness of sins, a peace that passeth all understanding and a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Father, we've been greatly helped tonight. May we never forget that and fall into this apostasy trap where we begin to depart. I pray, Lord, that You would bless this time now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Brother.